It said it's only until Yemir Vindakcha Vimukti Maninas Vaya Sabhavada Visudhya. Only until one has found shelter at the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the heart satisfied, then one can stay with that thing, with that one thing. Otherwise the restlessness will continue. So even when in this world, you know how it is. Constantly changing, constant restlessness. You cannot remain fixed on anything for long. That's the difficulty. We all face that difficulty. We are just, that restlessness is taking us here, there, and everywhere, and we just cannot stay in one situation. And when we are, then our mind gets disturbed, and we start angering, lamenting, hoping for something else. Only when we are coming to Krishna, Yenir Vindakshi, when we come to the lotus eyed Supreme Lord, then we found something we can stay with, where our entire being is fulfilled. Nothing else can fulfill. So, that is it. Nigama kalpa tara kalitam phalam sukha bhukatam vidhadhav samvitam pivata bhavatam rasamalayam mura ho sikha bhukha. So the third verse of the Bhagavatam is describing that of all the Vedic literatures, which are like a desire tree, kalpataru, there is a ripened fruit, and that ripened fruit, that is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. And that ripened fruit is devotional service. So this movement is a very concentrated movement. It is a movement which is not getting involved in someone's ritual. Why are we not doing the Sraddha ceremony? Why not? Are we against it? No. No, we are not. But then, is it wrong to do? No, there's nothing wrong. So can we do? No. But you just said there's nothing wrong. So why can we not make such offerings to benefit our ancestors? This is part of the Vedic tradition. So, and you said there was nothing wrong. No, nothing wrong. So then, can we do? No. Why? But he said it was alright. No. We can't waste our time with these lower aspects of the Vedas. There's so little time. Life is so short, especially in this age, so short, so little time. We cannot waste it with secondary ritual, because our time is prime time and must be used for Krishna at every moment. That is human love. There is no kaya for that. There's no time for that. We're cheating ourselves and missing out on the real thing. It's not that it's forbidden or that it's not a bona fide ritual. It's bona fide. But it's secondary. No time. Too busy. Too busy just going deep in the nectar. Diving into the ocean of bhakti ras, of transcendental nectar. Perhaps it's the nectar of devotion. Diving into that. Bhakti ras is a symbol. Yeah, so in this way, Vaishnava has no time. We see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, whether religious or irreligious, if it is not devotional service, it is sinful. Now, isn't that a little strong? I mean, okay, irreligious, sinful, we can understand, but religious is not also sinful. Isn't that a little too rigid there? No. Doesn't that reek of fundamentalism? No. Then what is it? first is a moment of ecstasy of Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, who doesn't want to waste his time. Oh yes, we did this ritual, but if it's not devotional service, no, even that, not interested. Still within the network of karma, trying to counteract karma. But by counteracting karma, you will also create some karma. You are making a fire, a yajna, big yajna, to get rid of all the inauspiciousness. We have Homa in the house. Everything is very good. We get rid of all the bad influences. Homa. But do you know that the flames are killing many living entities? And do you know that in this way you incur fresh sin also? Now that you're saying that, that's a good point. Then we should better fund it into chant some mantras to counteract decent activities as well. Yes, but the pandit, he has a particular size feet, you know, let us say size 9. That is a serious footprint, you know. We're speaking about the ecological footprint, about various footprints. Yes, well, how about Pandit's footprints? He will also kill some living entities. Shit, again. Even Pandit did the yajna, but now we've got to get some karma. What are we going to do? How are we going to counteract the things that we did to counteract the things that we did to counteract the things that we did? Have you thought about it? Oh my God. Just chant. Because then we are no longer depending on the power. We're no longer depending on the power of he who performs the ritual. We simply surrender to Krishna and say, yes, Krishna, I know. I, with each step, I'm killing some living entities with every bite. Although I try to be vegetarian, I'm not sure what goes in. Minuscule entities. Oh my God. Can you even eat after this? But you have to, sooner or later. And how many days can we fast? Then again, we have to eat. So, if we are on the path of trying to avoid sinful activity, it will be difficult. And then how about devotee? Does a devotee get no reaction for all the things they do? That depends. As long as they're engaged in devotional service. Krishna, moksha ichami ma suchaha, sarva dharma paryayama ekam saranam raja. Abandon all varieties of religion. Just surrender unto me. I will deliver you from all the reactions of sinful activities. It's Krishna who wills. So in this way, and he said all. So that's good. Then that's all, isn't it? That settles that. So settled once and for all. So let us concentrate on Krishna and let us just taste that ecstasy and not look for other things of auspiciousness and say, can we do that also? Is it bad to have Ganesh on your altar? No, Ganesh is Ganesh, he's worshipable. Then, can we put him on the altar? No. But you said it wasn't bad. No, it's not bad. It's Ganesh, he's worshipable. Yes. But if we put him on the altar, then so much for Krishna, so much for Ganesh. And Krishna wants everything. Kinchit kevalai bhaktya vasudeva parayana. He wants complete dedication. Nothing half. Ladies understand these things because they also want a man who is completely dedicated. 100%. And if there's one person sin. Okay, they don't sin. What was in this? It's not 99% will not do. It has to be 100%. Is it true? of course. So Krishna wants 100%. 100%. He wants complete dedication, not divided. Not divided dedication. That is the point. That is the essence of bhakti. And those who actually have the courage, that takes a lot of courage. You see, I mean, you know, ever since our childhood, we've been collecting toys. And oh, 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 my toys, if some other kid wants to play with my toys, sirens go off. That's not allowed. My toys, I am mine. So this I and mine has been in there since early childhood, and it has grown deeper, not smaller. We want toys, not do anymore. Gives the real thing. So we have all our sources of enjoyment. Oh yes, many, many, many. But we're not satisfied. Right? So many things, still not satisfied. But that's okay. I just hold on to what I have, and I get more. But you hold on to what you have, because at least you get some pleasure out of this. This is the Kanista Adhikar. I have a little play, which I can do for you if you want. You want me to do a play for you?
Yes.
It's a little unorthodox, but I've never read any scripture that it's forbidden to do a play on the other side. So please go ahead. You know, it's been raining and raining and raining too much. And, you know, all the pots and pans in the house have been there to catch the water that's leaking through my roof. And it's getting a problem. And the last few days it's been really nice and kind of sunny. So you know what? I'm going on that roof and I'm going to fix the holes. Alright. Alright, it's high up here. Alright,
fix one.
Fix the other one. It's going good, you know. I'm going to give you those pots and pans for something better. And then.
Oh! Sliding!
Ha! Saved.
Last bit, I managed to grab the edge of the roof. Can you get this one in between? Take it out. Quick. Yes. Oh, I'm hanging on the roof!
Thank God. Alright, I'll just climb on the roof. Oh God, I haven't been doing my yoga. And all that mama to sell. I can't get up. What to do now? I'm just hanging here. I mean, how long can I hang here? I'm not saved. I'm sure you're going to crash. Oh God, oh God, please help. Need any help? Who are you? I'm God. Oh God. Oh God. Please help me. Oh, it's alright. Just let go of the roof and I will catch you. Can't you catch me first? And then I'll let go of the roof. Thank you. So, this play, and this short little skit, is showing us how we hold on to our securities. And we say, yes, Krishna, I'll give my life to you. Here's the the goodies are nicely and secure, then we say, yes, Krishna, how can I serve you? But we hold on to our material enjoyment because we are afraid. What if I give it up? Everything for Krishna. Then what will happen? If I give up everything for Krishna, what if I don't get the ecstasy? What if I don't get the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness? And then I've given up all my material things? Forget it. I'm holding on to my roof. I'm not letting go. You catch me first. You give me all the ecstasy first, then I'll let go. That is basically our attitude. And that is kind of starting. That is weak faith. Weak faith. Yes. Whereas the Madhyam Adhikari, he has firm faith. He is ready to put his faith in Krishna. Shada Sattari Saskar, Sridhar Nishchara, Krishna Bhakti Kodi Sattakam Kirtana. He is understanding that if I put all my faith in Krishna, all good will come in my life. But who's ready for that? No, we're not. We can't. So, therefore, instead of giving our whole life, we ask for blessings. Please give me blessings. We'll come. And some people, they come to the temple and they do a big performance, like... So that, now you must surely hear, give me some blessings. Bye. What will you get? You know, you grab your ears, right? And you hold them down like this. It basically means, I didn't listen. I didn't listen. I should be punished. Please forgive me. All right, you can try. Please. Yeah. But that is a cheap show. That's a cheap show. That's business. That's just business. It's like, in Vrindavan, outside our temple, we used to have, in India, just like in South Africa, the small coins, they go out of circulation. So the one paisa coin had been taken out of circulation ages ago. Right? But 5 paisa was still going. Right? But then, and then 5 paisa also went. Only 10 paisa was left. Right? Then outside the temple were the money changers, and people would come and they give 1 rupee and they get 100 1-paisa coins from the money changers who still had them. Then they take those 1-paisa coins and lots of coins, and they go to all the temples in Vrindavan, and everyone and the altar just throw 1 paisa coin. And we can't get rid of them. The only ones we can sell them to is the money changers. And there's always rooms full of 1 paisa coins. So, and then the song is, Jai Jagadish Hare, Hamko Ek Ek Chai. And I'll give you 1 paisa. That's serious business. What is that? Is there any party there? Or is this business? Which business do you invest 1 paisa and get 1 lakh? That is good business. So that is not what we want. We want that full faith. And this movement, Srila Prabhupada explained, is the Madhyam Adhikari movement. This is the movement for those who are going forward in their faith. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is not an add-on or an addendum, as they say, to life. It is meant to be a complete change. It is meant to be that we say, all right, complete change, a total revolution, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said. Spiritual life is meant to be a total revolution. Maybe not in one day. Okay, we'll take some time, but that's the idea. Pure devotional service. It's not that There was in the Bhagavad Gita the verse Manushyanam Sahasresu Kaschit Yatati Siriye Yatam Abhisiranam Kaschit Mamadita Kritava. Out of many thousands among men, hardly one knows me in truth. And out of those who know me in truth, hardly one attains perfection. So that means out of thousands, one is interested in the absolute truth, and out of thousands of those, one attains perfection. That's one in a million, basically. One in a million. So this is not one in a million movement. This is the movement where everyone is meant to be a pure devotee. When we read the Chaitanya Chandramrita, a book of Prabodhananda Saraswati, Prabodhananda Saraswati lived in South India and was the uncle of Gopabhata Goswami, who was in Sri Rangam when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited. He was a sannyasi and he was completely dedicated to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wrote two major works, one about Vrindavan, Vrindavan Mahimas, like a very Mahimamrita, an amazing book, and then Chaitanya Chandramrita. In Chaitanya Chandramrita, he's basically explaining that now what has happened in this world, that everyone is simply crying tears, everyone is simply getting ecstatic, everyone is now tasting, relishing the greatest nectar. So Prabhupada is beginning to speak about this unique time, this unique movement, the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is what this is. We can see, at least you cannot see, because it's behind you, but I see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here. And here and there, he's present on the pictures. But actually, he is our main deity. He is our main deity. And some people may say, well, I don't know. For me, Krishna is the main deity. I don't relate so much to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's like,
so you have not yet woken up. You are still sleeping. You are not fully woken up to reality. Yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh yes.
Kanaya and all these things. Very sweet. But then we can go to Vrindavan. Ariyar, chalo, Vrindavan chalo. And we go to Vrindavan, and there we are in Vrindavan. And who can enter into Vrindavan? Prabhupada said you cannot buy a railway ticket. Nowadays we buy plane. But you cannot buy a ticket to Vrindavan. Not like that. You cannot go there in that way. We may stay in Vrindavan, but have we really been in Vrindavan? Have we seen the Vrindavan? Did we see what Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw? Have you been to Kesigat? Have you been?
You have been. He says in Vrindavan. I also been. So what did you see?
Nothing. Kuch nahi. Kuch nahi. He didn't see anything. I saw red sandstone palace. I saw red sandstone steps. And these things I saw. I saw some boatmen. I saw some other things. And that's what I saw. Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw jewels and gold.
He saw. Because he saw the other dimension.
I read Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Govinda Lilamrita, and I read a description about Radhakund, and it says that on the corner of Radhakund there are four jeweled swings.
Have you seen the video of Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj? Let's see.
Seen it?
No. Oh. Maharaj makes very good videos, actually. And nowadays they eat on YouTube for free. that's interesting. Yes. Yes. on YouTube, type Relevant Americans, participants from Click, and you watch, and you go there, and you see all the temples, you see the people bathing, and it's wonderful.
But any jeweled swings? Mm-hmm. No jeweled swings? No, because that is when you can look into the spiritual dimension. And who can? So can we go to Vrindavan? Can we actually enter into Vrindavan? To what extent can we perceive Vrindavan?
So we come to Krishna Balaram Mandir.
Prabhupada's mercy is there. That helps.
And there we look at the altar. First altar, Gornitai. Middle altar, Krishna Balaram. They're also Gornitai.
Non different. Balaram Rajendranandan Jay Sachi Sutta Bhavasa Balaram Gornitai.
So they're non different. And then we get Radha and Krishna.
So the point is that without special mercy, how can we come to that level of Vrindavan? We can be there, but we will not have the love of the gopis. The gopis, the love of the gopis is so extraordinary. And we will be hearing about Krishna and Ras Lila, but we will not hear with love. A little love, but how much love? How deep is it? What is our capacity to love at this stage?
Our love is very shallow. Love you today, leave you tomorrow. Love and leave. Yeah.
That means we're not fixed, we're still restless. That's not love.
Gopis, even when Krishna extends the Ras Lila to an entire night of Brahma, right, which is
an entire
kalpa.
Still, it is for them like too short, just a moment. Just a moment. We, you know, one Sunday feast lecture, that's enough for the whole week, you know.
That was an overdose, you know. Let's not overdo it now. It's good to be devotional, but you don't want to get too devotional, do you? You know, there's some real things to deal with as well.
Yes. So, in this way, now, what is it? Who can enter? Who can enter into Vrindavan? On our own strength? On the strength of our sadhana? On the strength of the rounds that we chant?
Well, I don't know. I mean, about yours, you know. I know about mine.
And I also know about the rounds of a boy who was sitting behind me in the car as we were driving for 3 hours. And for 3 hours, he was chanting right next to my ear. And he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And 10 centimeters away from my ear. So after about 1 hour, I politely asked him, do you have another tune? It's like, how deep is our chanting? How deep is it? I mean, okay, you're doing good when you can stay awake, isn't it? You know, I mean, that's success when we don't doze off. It's also good if you can chant. Can you chant 16 rounds without touching your phone? No, that's a challenge. That's going to be tough. 16 rounds without touching the phone. Try it. I'm not sure, Maharaj, if you want to try that. Not bad. Anything but that. So just see how. What is the quality of our rounds? So it depends on our chanting. This chanting is the essence. This chanting is everything. It all depends on the chanting. The whole process comes together in this one thing, the chanting of the holy name. This is the most important. All the mercy is there. And what do we make of it?
So therefore, if it depends on our chanting, if it depends on our performance in spiritual life, well, then, sorry folks. I'm afraid it won't do. I'm sorry. Yeah. What do you think? Do you think it will do? Anyone who thinks it's good enough? We also feel like, right?
Everybody after they turn their rounds sort of feel like, well, you know, I guess I did it. Could have been better, right? And that's the best we get together. Who doesn't feel could have been better?
Therefore, that mercy element is essential. We depend on it completely. It's
needed. So therefore, with Gauri Thai in Vrindavan, yes, we can end. Therefore, first chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Siddhati Gadava Shivasani Gaur Bhaktivin and then Hare Krishna.
Yes, then we can enter. Then we can enter into the Dham and we can get the benefit from the name because that mercy is there. And that is very essential. So this movement is that movement. And there are interesting verses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There is one verse which gives a metaphor and it describes just like an innocent child swims across an ocean filled with the crocodiles of various speculative theories. So visualize it. Innocent child. Child doesn't know. Innocent, you know, like a ghost to me. Child doesn't know. There are big crocodiles in the ocean. And crocodiles are hungry. And crocodiles are waiting. And here comes, tasty, juicy little child swimming. Crocodiles are looking, thinking, yum, yum. Here's a nice little snack between meals. Just ready to go, and said, but by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, an innocent child can swim across an ocean. How can a child swim across an ocean in the first place? No way. I mean, are there any children here? Yes. Can you swim across an ocean? You can't. How about crocodiles? You like crocodiles?
Yeah.
Not so much.
Yeah, so it's an impossible task.
But an impossible task becomes possible. And here's wrong. Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. Just see. Consistent with the message.
Because by mercy, it can all be done. So suddenly, we who could not enter can enter. We who cannot chant can chant. We who could not follow foreign related principles, you know. No way. We couldn't. Now we can. By that mercy, it all becomes possible.
And simply, therefore, how to take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
Raghunath Das Goswami tried it.
He was the son of a wealthy landowner, and his father was somehow or other very attached to his son. He wanted a successor. So when his son showed too much interest in spiritual life, his father made sure that he was never alone, and whenever he wanted to wander off too far from home, his father, to protect him, brought him back. Mother said, why don't you bind him with ropes? Our son has gone mad. The father said, look, I couldn't bind him with the most beautiful wife. Do you think that ropes can bind him?
No.
Raghunath Das just wanted to give his life to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he could not.
It didn't work. Then, one day, Lord Nityananda came. And Lord Nityananda was not far from Raghunath's residence. So Raghunath went there with some of his associates. And when he saw Lord Nityananda at a distance, he paid obeisances. Lord Nityananda was seated at the bank of the Ganga under a under a tree, under a big banyan tree, and Lord Nityananda called out to Raghunath, "Hey, you thief!" You know, and everyone looked, "What is that? Some thief?" In India, when you say chor, it's a big thing, you know. As soon as you start calling out, "Chor, chor, chor!" you have 100 people, 300 people, 400 people. It's a magic word. If you want to grab, call chor. So, in no time, everyone looks, "What is this, a chore?" And then Nityananda says, "He is a chore, okay. So, you know, okay, people, they went for the chore, they got him, they grabbed him, and brought him before Nityananda. And Nityananda said, "So, you chore, now I will punish you. I will punish you for stealing away the opportunity from me to embrace you." And then he embraces Raghunath. And after that, he punished him that he had to make some sort of feast for all the devotees. So he did some sort of emergency thing. Because in India, in Bengal, when it's emergency, then it's flat rice. Like when there's the flood. In Mayapur, when there's flood, immediately, they all go on the roof of the buildings and the first thing they eat is flat rice. I see. So, flat rice. But he made a very tasty flat rice by putting, soaking it in milk, soaking it in yogurt, adding sweets, adding all kinds of things. So it was really good. And he had all these brahmanas, and they were making this, and everyone was celebrating this. It was very nice. Anyway, the point of the story is that after Raghunath got embraced by Nityananda, Nityananda told him that soon his desire would be fulfilled. And after he got the mercy from Nityananda, then he got the mercy from Lord Chaitanya. Alright, so we know now we need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, but we can't get it directly. We need to get first the mercy of Lord Nityananda, otherwise we can't get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. How do we get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? Lord Nityananda. How do you do that? Lord Nityananda is the same as Lord Chaitanya. And yet there is one difference. One is known as Sevya Bhagavan, the other one is Seva Bhagavan. One is the Lord who is being served, Lord Chaitanya, and the other one is the Lord who is the servant. And Nityananda, he serves in so many ways. Nityananda, he takes the form of the spiritual world. He takes the form of the material world. He becomes the Purusha avatars. He becomes the bed, the plate, the shoes of the Lord. He serves in any possible way. So how to get the mercy of the Lord into him? By assisting. By also doing that. Of doing a little bit of that. And then each one is looking, look at that person. It's natural if you're doing something and someone starts to help you. So this person is nice. This is a very nice person. Yes, helping me. That's very rare, right? To find someone who actually is going to help you. That person gets some special mercy. Isn't it? We are the same. So in this way, to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we have to serve. How do you do that? Then there's Prabhupada. That's easy. Prabhupada is made easy. He made temples everywhere, all over the world. It's really easy. Nowadays, Krishna.com. Right? You Google it on your phone, list of temples, anywhere. You just go and you just walk in and you say, "Any prasad?" Traveling all the way to Africa. Not so bad, because Prabhupada arranged everything. Varinarayan Swami tells a story that he wanted to, he thought, "I'll go on a holiday and I'll go and preach, I'll go and preach in a place in the world where I can do some real pioneering work, some real preaching." So he looked on the map of the world and he decided, New Guinea. I mean, New Guinea is an area where the It's not so much preaching going on because it's a place where there still are active camels, quite a lot. Right? So it's a little hard to preach to the camels. You know? I mean, most devotees didn't go there for preaching. So Maharaj decided, okay, I'll go there. He went to New Guinea and half of the island is cannibals, the other half is not. So the airport is in the non-cannibal area. So he landed there and went to a hotel. And when he came to the hotel, the man behind the reception of the hotel was reading Prabhupada's book. He realized Prabhupada was already there. He wanted to go somewhere to preach, but Prabhupada was already there. So, in this way, Prabhupada already went everywhere. Prabhupada already made everything ready for us, made it so easy. So it made it easy to do devotional service, made it practical for modern people. We didn't have to become traditional like the Sikhs or Swamis. You know, loincloth and a little chadar. They don't, it's cold, huh? It's like sleeping under a tree. I don't know about that. You want to sleep under a tree? Different one than that. Really? Anyway. We have a few trees out to do. Start a tree grow. All that austerity, Prabhupada made it comfortable. Made nice facilities, nice design, nice arrangements, so many possibilities to serve. So made it easy to assist Lord Nityananda. Easy. So that we could attract the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So that we can finally enter into Nitai Padavinivaya Radha Krishna Paitana. Without the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, we cannot attain Radha and Krishna. So, as you can see, my entire talk is confirmed by the words of Mountain Astaga. And it is fundamental to it. So somehow or other, this should be our meditation. How do I get this mercy of Lord Nityananda? Think about that. And so one cannot say, Gonitai, I don't know, it's like I'm more attracted to Radha and Krishna. You know, like we have so many deities in the Hare Krishna movement, and I like Radha and Krishna. Someone says, oh, no, I like Jagannatha. Gonitai, I don't know, I don't feel so much for that. I said, no. You're still sleeping because you will never get Radha Krishna. Because to enter into these pastimes, one must have the same love as Radha and Krishna. Otherwise, we'll just be outsiders and restless outsiders. So we'll go to Vrindavan, we hear Ras Leela for a while, and we hear some more Ras Leela, and a little more, and a little more, and a little more, and then we get bored. And you get restless. And then you want something else. And maybe we want to do our own restless. Play flute. Can learn. So in this way, we depend actually very much on the mercy. And of course, and then the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and then the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Is on the mercy of his followers, the mercy of all the Vaishnavas as well. And that makes it all possible. And in this way, we can attain the ultimate goal in life. So, any questions? Any comments? Yeah?
If you can speak loud, that would be fantastic.
I just want to ask, since you're saying you should get the mercy of since they are more like human avatar, to sort of show us the right way of being, of practicing devotional service, so shouldn't they be seen as also devotees rather than so much as Ishwara, which Lord Chaitanya doesn't possess, Ishwara Bhakti.
Yes, he acts like a devotee. He acts like a devotee.
My question is, what should be our path to us?
What should be our path?
Our path to us, our perception to us.
Yes. He acts like a devotee and he is the Supreme Lord. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Narayana is no different from Radha and Krishna. So when we look at Lord Chaitanya, we see Radha and Krishna. When we chant, when we focus on Lord Chaitanya, we always see that he is no different from Radha and Krishna. That is our meditation. But at the same time, he comes in the form of a devotee to show us how to do it. Prabhupada would say, if you have someone, you know, you tell him, if you try to teach someone how to write and you tell them three times, do it like this, finally you take his hand and you just make the movements to help him to do it. In other words, we teach by example. Oh, that's how you do it. Show. Sometimes you explain, people don't get it. When you show, they get it. Oh, nice. You know, you take. Sometimes, like, one person whose name I will mention gave me his watch with many buttons and was super complicated to change the time. Right? And this watch, you know, I travel a lot and I change time zones, right? So all the time I had to change the time zones. I'm sitting on planes, pushing all the buttons, right? And I can't get the thing to work. And then I couldn't look on the internet because I was on the plane, you know, and it's like just trying to how to do this thing, you know. I mean, I asked stewardesses, you know, can you please change the time on this watch? You know, I got rid of it now. So sorry for the person who gave it to me with love and devotion, but I gave it away also to someone who really
and now I have an ultra simple thing, you know, old fashioned, just pull out the button and change it. I love it. It's just so simple.
Yeah. Anyway, so that watch, I couldn't do it. I needed someone to show me how to do it. Even with the manual, it's totally crazy. So Lord Chaitanya is, see, in Satya Yuga, all the people are very qualified. They're all great devotees. Treta Yuga, they're less qualified. And the good ones go back to Godhead, the ones that are left over, they go down to Dwapara Yuga. And then finally, the ones who failed all the exams, they wind up in the Kali Yuga. They are the people with learner's difficulties. They go to a special school. And that's where we are. We're in that. So we need teachers who show us how to do it. We can't get it by book instruction. So, but still he's the Lord, not the devotee. The Lord acting as the Lord. He's the Lord. Vijayananda is the Lord. Vijayananda is the Lord. By himself. Oh, yes. And the associates of Mahaprabhu, they knew it. Are you satisfied? I'm not sure we don't lose that. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Shuddha Sisi Goyatai, deities be worshipped in our homes. Can't devotees be encouraged to do it? All right, boys. And now you will take coins at home. And you start pushing coins at the table. And otherwise, you'll be in trouble. You know what I'm saying? You'll be in trouble. I don't think because you're sitting on the side.
Yeah, they should be encouraged. How to encourage them?
That's my question to you. If you know how to do it, I've been trying for years. I'm sitting here Sunday after Sunday, and I'm working out. That's a big thing. Today, I wasn't just sitting on the piazza, suddenly even sooner than the piazza, I was just hanging on the roof. So in short, it's not always so easy. So we're trying to encourage devotees. Yes, if we have bodhita in our home, that would be very nice, undoubtedly. That would bring a lot of mercy to our hearts. Okay. So that I explain all rarities of religion.
Variety.
All varieties of religion.
There's a lot of varieties of religion, and if I explain all, we might not be going on tonight. It may come on that session. But basically, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has taken advantage of Shankaracharya and has given us a division of religions. So I'll just follow that because there are five categories. And five is something we can handle, in less than 5 minutes. So that sounds like a good idea. The lowest level is when we worship out of fear. And we try to pacify the deities that are behind the dangers that are there in this world. So we try to pacify. And we make offerings. The lowest feature of that is that better than my blood, the blood of an animal. Well, if the deity wants blood, rather than my blood, better the blood of someone else. So this has created offering of animal sacrifice in cultures around the world. So this is religion out of fear, trying to pacify the deities above. This is known as Shakta worship. The lowest feature is Kali worship, and where it is very ghastly, right? Animal sacrifice, but also exists in other cultures around the world. Even in the modern world, scientists are sacrificing animals in the laboratories. Let them die so that we don't have to die. Same thing, Shakta. This is Shakta. The Shakta is trying to control the energies, the material energy, and to bring the material energy under control and make it sweet. Take away the harsh side of the material energy and make it the lowest level of creation. One level up is the Surya. He who worships the sun god. The sun is the life-giving energy. So it also includes prana, healing, chi, or reiki. That's all Surya. So if you say that that's the truth, the ultimate truth, I'm not saying, I'm not speaking against someone using Reiki to heal or this or that. I'm speaking. Someone who thinks that that's it is missing the point. But it's better than the shakta because there's a positive energy. There's an energy towards positive energies. Prana. Positive energy. So it is.
Then the next one, it gets more personal.
The Kalpachas. He is, of course, especially worshipped by the Vaishyas.
The Vaishyas, that is.
Yes, yes, money, money. It's like, it's a personal approach before material benefits. So it's a small, it's better than the shaktas and the suryas because you go for a personal exchange with God, higher level of religion. But now Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the scientists in modern times are also shaktas. So I have explained the suryas, right? You also found it outside of India, in South America. So much the Incas were worshipping the sun, the positive energy of the world. The Ganapati is the business relationship of the world. Oh Lord, what you have me, oh mercy, oh Lord. Yes, these things also have been sung in modern times.
So this is a business mentality with the Supreme Lord, where we want something material from the Lord, and we worship too much.
Then, the Shaivites, next level.
Who are the lingam? The lingam represents the male generative principle and prakriti, the feminine principle.
Prakriti is impregnated by the glands of Mahavishnu, the Sada Shiva, who impregnates. He becomes that glands, impregnates the Mahatattva, and here we have the Prakriti is become filled with living entities.
So this is the generating principle of the glands of Mahavishnu and the total conglomerate of the material energy.
That's all good. And then there's the day of Brahma and the night of Brahma. It exists and it doesn't exist. So generally, impersonalists take shelter of that.
So therefore, most of the worshippers of Lord Shiva are impersonalists.
And finally, there is... So impersonalism we find also in other traditions. Islam is impersonalists.
And then we can go and we can find the personal relationship with the Supreme Lord, the Vaishnavas. And then we see some other religions also more inclined, so traditionally, towards a personal relationship. Christianity in its traditional way. Later they also became impersonalists. Because they said, oh, that personal part is just mythology. Actually, God is an all-pervading energy. And again, we went down to the shadow. So this is a hierarchy.
One more time, since it was a long, let's summarize one more time. From the bottom up, shakta, out of fear, surya, recognizing positive energy, ganapatya, business relationship, one up, shaivat, impersonalist, vaishnava, having a personal relationship with the Supreme Lord. So, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto Krishna.
That's what we were talking about.
In India, basically, there are two parts, Vaishnava and Amunishana. So I said, no, there are five. I'm sorry, I was ahead of you. From Vaishnava, and we are devotees, we should, and according to our tradition, in our rituals, we have five something deep, basic deep rituals, puja. Ganesha, Ganesha, Lakshmi, Surya, Krishna. So, personally, at my own India, I do not have deities of Sri Sivananda to worship. Yes, because traditionally people didn't know about this. Even in India, people don't know.
Even India, see, traditionally, Gauri Jagannath manifests to the people. But now, India is going down quick. Did you read about that rape of the 8-year-old?
Huh? I don't know who's from India, but did you read in India they raped an 8-year-old girl? Is that India today? I know the magazine India Today, but this is worse than the magazine. I just saw an article on the BBC about vegetarianism in India, and that it is said that although people generally claim to be vegetarian, after a thorough academic study, they found that a lot of people are actually cheating a little bit when they say that. And they say that now vegetarianism in India is below 20%. Do you know that India is the number one leather exporter in the world? Number one leather exporter in the world. So what is there, tell me what is left of Vedic culture? So Prabhupada told us Vedic culture is dead. He said, of course, when it is like the remnants of it are still valuable, but the culture itself is not alive anymore. As people on the trains in India, and that is many years ago, were saying, how can we follow Bhagavad Gita? Nowadays they don't even say that anymore. At least 10 people are still interested in the Gita now. It's going down. I'm sorry. But Kali Yuga chal raha hai, also in India. So this Kali Yuga in India, Prabhupada said, India will be the best and India will be the worst. And how many organs are being stolen in India? All the time. The simple villagers come to the hospital and know they need appendix. And the doctors, they steal the kidney. Oh yeah, it's very common. It's all the time in the newspapers. How many brides are being burnt? All these things, what's going on? Child labor, right? In factories. So what are we having? Something has to change. But how can we do it? We need more than that. India needs the mercy of Gauri Nitai now. Kali Yuga has come. The people in India have also become weak. They have great knowledge, great culture, but they don't follow it. And therefore, and the Bollywood movies are not advertising it. The hero is mostly a Dalit, a Gunda. Right? In most Bollywood movies, it's some Dalit, some Gunda who's a hero. Where is it going? So let us look at
Gauri Nitai.
Okay. Can I speak something on Gadadhar Pandit? Gadadhar Pandit is a very hidden personality. Gadadhar Pandit appeared in Amavasya, and that is the dark moon night. Gadadhar Pandit is a mysterious thing with the first time, because to say Gadadhar Pandit is basically an extension of Srimad Bhagavatam. But what is evident is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken away all the qualities of Radharani and all the sort of all that is left for Gadadhar is a background mode and a humble service mode. That is all. That Gadadhar is like more than a mode of me, a mode of humble servant and nothing else. So Gadadhar is therefore appears in the dark moon, because Gadadhar is hiding. It's Radharani in a hidden form, completely hidden. Okay, here comes something very handwriting. I can actually read it. In your book, The Diving Deep, you describe the 3 levels of devotees and how they relate to the institution, perfect process, divine intervention, institution, its emphasis emphasizes the need for us to reach the Mahavira platform.
On one hand, our preaching tips on an institutional level dealing with the external energy. On the other hand, it's also the quality of the Narayana Bhakti. Can you explain?
That's a big question. Very simple. I said, if you look at ISKCON or any spiritual institution, you can look at it on three levels. The external level is the organization. And the temple, and what goes on in the temple, etc. The middle level is the process, chanting Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam. The deepest level is Krishna himself, who's driving this movement. The deepest devotee is with Krishna on the deepest level and gives inspiration to the movement. But the middle practitioner is deep in the process and gives inspiration to the organization. And he who's new or not or a neophyte doesn't go deep in the process. Krishna is far away and sees the ups and downs of the institution as very important. That is basically what I try to explain. And in this way, the full picture we should never forget. Whatever happens in the Hare Krishna movement, there's no need to point the finger at anyone, just chant Hare Krishna, put a hand in the beat bag and this chant. Because that can always go on. And that's a saving grace. Some people think that the Hare Krishna movement has to be like a homecoming. I have finally come to the movement of my dreams. The Hare Krishna movement. And 3 months later, I'm so disappointed. It's not what I thought it was. I have found people who treated me really bad. That's why now I am here. Okay? So no. The Hare Krishna movement is not, it's not a homecoming. This is not home. This is a station. It's a station. The station is not home, at least not for most people, right? You don't live on a station. You're boarding the train or the plane, whatever you want to board. But here you are boarding. You're boarding the train. It's a station. Stop on the way. And the station and the train are Krishna Mantra.
Scriptures describe the 6 net enemies of the mind, lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Sometimes it also describes pride and fear as part of them. Which are the 6 and how can we overcome them? Yes, you were right in the beginning. Pride and fear are not mentioned as the 6 enemies. These are additional other weaknesses, a longer list of them also. But lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, these are the 6 enemies that attack all of us. All living entities in this world are attacked by them. Nothing, it's like flies, you know? And mosquitoes, you know? And you just, you chase the fly away, and it's back again,
So that's the problem, how to get rid of these.
And again, chant Hare Krishna and take shelter of Lord Nityananda. Okay, scribble on the wall. Who's the most beautiful? What does the concept Istadev mean, or when does it apply? Because you mentioned that cannot relive to Lord Chaitanya, that is more attached to the form of Krishna. Someone hasn't really awakened. Okay. Yes. Because in this age, without Lord Chaitanya, we cannot attain perfection. That is the point. So yes, we worship Krishna, but not without Lord Chaitanya. We need more time. And that's
the unique feature of this movement, and that makes this movement alive. Why is this movement so alive?
It's because of that. Because of God. And leave it at that. Three more quick questions. How does one practically deal with acupuncture? No. How does one practically deal with attachment to material possessions like cars, furniture, etc., in the name of excuse for preserving one's inheritance left by the parents or grandparents? Engage God in Krishna service and fun. To change the number of players by 4 Krishna on it. It's not too expensive. Is there a pastime between Lord Vijayananda and your daughter Pandit? Could you please tell her? No, I can't think of anyone. Okay, that's all for the question. I heard in a lecture that the King of Mercy and Lord Vijayananda, we have to approach Jagai and Mother. Can we explain? Yes, Jagai and Mother got the mercy of Lord Vijayananda and became the dedicated servants of Vijayananda. So, basically, just like Jagai and Madai, who were reformed, we should also reform and become the dedicated servant of Lord Vijayananda. So Jagai and Madai are the inspiration because they were so fallen and they changed. So if they could do it, we can also.
Okay, I went through your last questions a little quick. And I have to think
about the Kanada story. I really can't think of one right now. So thank you very much. It was a pleasure. I hope you got some inspiration out of my lecture. If not, then I'll try and do the conch show next time.